This past Wednesday, we celebrated the birthday of our nation. And as we celebrated it, and as we thought of what it means to be free, at least I hope that's what we thought of. Too many people are thinking about how to beat down the other side in America today. We've forgotten what it's about. What our founding fathers wanted in this country, and what the Pilgrims and Puritans wanted before that, was a nation, as our pledge says, a nation under God with liberty and justice for all. And those two things in our pledge must go hand in hand. Now, the reality of America has not matched the pledge. Today, we really aren't one nation. And a lot of people would rather not be under God, though the whole universe is under God, so that's a losing cause for those who don't want it. And liberty and justice have fallen into disuse in many places. But I'm not here so much to talk today about America's liberty. I want to talk about the topic of liberty, of freedom in general. And part of the issue today with our liberty in the United States is that we've got this idea that liberty means doing what I want without consequences. Being free to throw a drink in someone's face or say whatever I want or act like whatever I want and nothing should happen to me. That's freedom in many modern people's minds. But the fact of the matter is, there is nothing that we do in the universe that doesn't have consequences. Even if the consequences aren't bad, if I choose to go bowling tomorrow evening, it means I can't have band practice at the same time. Our choices, which is what liberty is the ability to do choices. Choices always have consequences, for good or for evil. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap." I am free to sow thorns in my backyard if I want. I am free to go out and get, you know, those little stickly things, those little burrs, and sow them all over my backyard if I so choose. But if I choose those, I am not free to go out in my backyard barefoot and not get pricked. So you're free. But freedom brings with it responsibilities because there are consequences to every act that we do. And so I want to start first and remember that freedom has a cost. There is no such thing as truly free. If you get free money from the government, that money didn't come free. Somebody had it taken out of their pockets. It's free to you. And salvation, we talk about salvation all the time. It's free. You trust in Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. It's free. You don't have to earn it. You can't work for it. It's free. Ephesians 2:8-9 says so that no one could boast, but it isn't free in that it costs nothing. We all know that it costs our Redeemer his life. I am free in my salvation because Jesus Christ was bound and nailed to a cross. I am free from my sin because Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21, became sin for me. He took my penalty. He paid my price. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. What, know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and you were bought with a price? That's why we sang at Calvary. Mercy there and grace was free. Pardon was multiplied to me. But we need to remember where. At the cross, at Calvary, where Christ's blood was shed. So when I operate in my Christian freedom, when I go out and enjoy the freedom that God gave me, I need to remember that it cost the Son of God His very life. And not just the Son of God, but our freedom has cost the lives of many others. Both physically and spiritually. Hebrews 11 talks about the heroes of the faith. Moses and Noah and David and Samson, Enoch and Abel, all these people throughout history who have given either their lives in service or their lives in death to push freedom forward. And even after the Bible, the martyrs of the early church, the people who died in the Revolutionary War and in so many other wars so that we here today could be free. Your freedom cost a lot of people. As it says in the documents of our founding nation, their life, their liberty, their sacred honor, which they put so that we could have the responsibility and the freedom to be free. So we cannot forget ever when you enjoy your freedom, and do enjoy it. God gives us these things richly to enjoy. But when you enjoy your freedom, remember, always remember, and be thankful for the ones who paid the price. And even in daily life, in little things. Today, after I leave church, I'm going to go and I'm going to eat. Now, I don't cook. I'm a lousy cook. And I'm free to eat because somebody else put time in over the stove. Whether I go home and get some mole or something out of the freezer that Angie left me and put it with rice that Angie cooked or whatever, or whether I decide to stop by La Haiba or another restaurant, I get to eat. I'm free to eat these things because somebody else put their time in to make it. So freedom always takes my freedom. When I'm free to not have to do something, it took the life of someone else to do it. A part of their life, which they can never get back. Now we pay them for it, but be thankful for it. Freedom costs always. Now legalism is the biggest threat to freedom. Legalism is that idea that we are made holy by the law. And always so many people, especially in churches, try and bind you again. And that's why Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 5, when he's talking about these legalists, he said, I did not even submit to them for an hour. Don't let anybody steal your freedom. Don't let anybody come in and spy out and steal your liberty. It's a precious thing. It's something that cost Christ His blood. It's something that cost many people their blood to give it to you. Enjoy it and do not be entangled again with any yoke of bondage. I have seen so many believers who, in the freedom that Christ gave them, are tying themselves, as it says at the end of chapter 2 in Colossians, to these rudiments of the world of don't touch, don't handle, don't do this, don't do that, which are things that perish, it says there, with the using. Don't let anybody steal your freedom. It costs too much. But use your freedom responsibly. When you are free, leaving your responsibility behind will end you in bondage as quick as any legalism. So how are we to be responsible with our freedom? The first is in the passage we read today, and I think it's very, very important. Galatians chapter 5. And verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free, and do not become entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Hold on to your freedom. Don't let anyone take it from you. There is nothing that you have more precious than the freedom that Jesus Christ gave you through his blood. Don't let people bind you. Don't be bound again. Don't find some way. Because see, here's the thing that people find often. It's safer to be bound. It's safer to be bound. And so many times we trade our freedom for safety. But that safety is in a great part an illusion. You know, I remember when I was a kid, I used to be able to go just about anywhere. You know, how many of you were the older people? Your parents would tell you, go out and play, come back when the sun goes down. You know that? They didn't, you know, and there was no cell phones, and there was no, you know, cameras and stuff that you could check, and there's no GPS and tracking and stuff. Your kid gets on his bike, say, okay, go out there, play. Come back when the sun is going down and we'll have supper. I see Kitty and some of the others smiling. She knows what it's like. I know what it's like. And I was down in Mexico. And I get on my bike and I go around and, you know, and I come back. You know what? I'm here. And I enjoyed it. Today, I know when we gave that bike away from in Vacation Bible School, I was a little concerned because, you know, kids today don't get to ride their bikes like I did. Okay, you can ride down to the end of the street, Junior, and then come back, and I've got to be out there watching because it's not safe out there. But darn, is it fun. But you know what? You can ride your bike around and keep, you know, and you can, and then come home and trip in the bathtub and kill yourself. Any safety we have in this world is a probability at best and an illusion at worst. But you know what? We are safe in the hands of God. God has us. He says in Psalm 23, his rod and his staff, they comfort. You know, the shepherd is looking out for his sheep. You can be free. Don't worry about, I mean, I'm not saying don't take some precautions. But I'm saying don't trade all the freedom for this. Well, there's one chance in a million I might. Yes, there is. But nothing in this world is safe. Stand fast in the freedom. Enjoy your freedom. Take some risks. Think about it. Think about them. But especially in the Lord's work, take some risks. And that Vincent, he goes down to Michoacán. Michoacán's not a safe place. But it is in the hands of the Lord. I go into Reynosa or going to Rio Bravo or these places. They're not safe places. But I'm going to stand fast in the freedom. And if God calls me, I won't go. Because I'm in his hands. Stand fast. Don't be entangled in bondage. I mean, how many of you go to an airport today? And you got to stand in that line and you got to take your shoes off and you got to deal with, because somebody, and you have to take these little teeny toothpastes. Have to go and buy these little toothpastes and little, you know, and Angie took, not this time, but the previous time she took some liquid that she, one of her herbs that she takes, chamomile, I think it was, or something like that. And she forgot about the size thing. And they threw her chamomile away. She's going to blow up a plane with tea. We give up our liberty for safety in something that the terrorists have found other ways to do things now. Secondly, subject your liberty to the truth. There is no liberty in a lie. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You can't build liberty on lies. And so many people today are trying to bolster whatever they think is liberty with lies, with propaganda, with stuff like that. And their liberty ends up death. The worst one, of course, is at least in the physical sense, is that thing inside you. It's not a baby. It's just tissue. You can get rid of it safely and fine. No, that's a human being who's never going to have their liberty, not here on earth. You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But that takes away my choice. No, it just puts the consequences where they should be. You have a liberty to play around with rattlesnake if you want. But remember what rattlesnakes are, what the truth is about rattlesnakes. They're not fuzzy little friends. Subject your life to the truth, and don't try and push liberty with falsehoods, even if they seem to help your side. Liberty is not a license to sin. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. But you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Liberty is freedom to choose. So choose right. Because if you do choose towards your flesh, you are guaranteed that you're going to reap what you sow. So don't. Now, are you free to do it? Yeah, of course you're free to do it. You're free to do anything you can with your hands and your feet and your eyes and your whatever. But you're not free to avoid the consequences of what you do. I'm free to jump off the building where Tony used to have his office up there on 10th Street. Off the top. I'm totally free to do that. I'm not free to be whole when I hit the bottom. You're free to go on the internet and watch all sorts of nasty stuff. You're not free to unsee what you saw. It's going to stay there in your mind. It's not a license to go out. Because why? Because sin is sin, not just because it offends a holy God. It does do that. But sin is sin for you because it damages you. God made you for a different thing. God made you for himself. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians. The saying was, food for the belly and the belly for food. So I can eat, you know, eat as much food as I want to eat. Do one of these hot dog eating contests where you eat like 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes. No, your body was made for the Lord, he says, Paul says. You use it for anything else, you will suffer the consequences. It's not a license to sin. And there are things that aren't sin, but aren't expedient for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. You know what? You can. It's lawful. It's lawful for you to eat 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Now, it's lawful. It's not expedient. You're not going to feel good afterwards. You're going to be messing up your stomach. Oh, I shouldn't eat that much. Oh. Did somebody stick those in you? Were you, instead of being waterboarded, were you hot dog boarded or something? Did they put all those? No.
I did it.
There are many things that we do. And the question too many people ask, well, what's wrong with it? You ever heard that question? Your kids ask me, my kids, well, what's wrong with it? That's not the question we should be asking. We should never be asking, what's wrong with it? We should be asking, what's good about it? And is there something I could do that's better? Too many of us as Christians, we say, I'm free. So I'm going to put my toe right over the line. I'm going to move it even half my foot right over the line of the cliff because I'm free. What's wrong? I haven't gone into the cliff. And then the cliff crumbles. Why do we stay as close as we can to the edge of what's sinful? Well, it's not sin. The law doesn't say anything. God's commandments don't say anything about it. I can do it. It's lawful for me. But it's just not expedient. It's not good. You guys can go, if you want, down to Reynosa with a new car and flashing a roll of $100 bills. You can do it. It's you're free to do that. Not a good idea. If you want to keep your car, your bills, and your life, don't do that. It's not expedient. We need to start asking, how does this help? Instead of just, will it hurt me? How does this help? What's good about this? And the next in this is, same verse, all things are lawful for me, 1 Corinthians 6:12, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Are you addicted? Am I addicted to something?
You say, well, I don't do any drugs. I'm not an alcoholic.
Some of us are addicted to binge watching TV. Some of us are addicted to video games. Some of us are addicted to too many pizzas. Whatever your thing that you just have to have, I have to have this. And you may not say it, but you know if you don't have it, your day is just incomplete. It's got power over you. It runs your life. You're scheduling things around it, and it's just a thing that's tying you up. It's lawful for you. This is where a lot of things like cigarettes and things fit. Is it against the biblical law to smoke a cigarette or a cigar or a pipe? No. But if you're just, I gotta have one. Can I bum one off you? You're being brought under the power of something that's running you. The only thing that should be running us is God's will. Now, I read of some people, a bunch of pastors and professors who twice a year they get together, New Year's Eve and 4th of July, and they smoke cigars. It's just their tradition. They've had it for years. They don't. None of them smoke them any other time. Twice a year, they get together and smoke cigars. You know what? More power to them. I hate cigars. I think the smell of cigars is an awful thing. But you know what? I'm not going to say anything about these people who smoke cigars twice a year. As long as they keep away from my living room when they do it. It's not going to hurt them. They're not under the power of the cigar. They enjoy it twice a year. But then I know my dad, who died at age 49. Because after his second heart attack, when the doctor says, no more pipes, no more cigarettes, no more cigars, my dad kept on. And when he was finally confronted by my mother, he says, I like them too much. So he never saw any of his 9 grandchildren or his, how many is it now, 12, 13 great-grandchildren, because he was under the power of a thing. We need to look at our lives and say, what is controlling me? The only thing that should be filling us and controlling us is the Holy Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, Ephesians 5:18, but be filled with the Spirit. But the other side of that is no legalism ever. No legalism ever. Don't let anybody do that to you. Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And this occurred because false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we did not yield submission for even an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The truth of the good news that in Christ you are free, in Christ you have abundant life, in Christ you're not burdened down with a yoke of don't do this and do that and live this and listen to this kind of music only and follow my rules. You just look to Christ and he will lead you through his word. Don't for an hour. It's very easy to start saying, I want to say something about this. You can make your own lists all you want. You know your weaknesses. You know what you know. If you say, I can't have X food, or I was an alcoholic, so I can't drink this. Or you want to make your list that help you in your life, and I've got mine. That's fine. But apart from the Word of God, when you start saying, in order to be spiritual, you got to follow my list, you're in trouble. And Paul says, you're coming in, you're spying out my liberty to destroy it. You can suggest, you can advise and counsel, it's good. But don't make it equal to what God says. And last, always use your liberty in love. And we looked at the verse already. Galatians chapter 5. We start in verse 1. We are called to liberty. But verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use that liberty as an opportunity to the flesh, but through love to serve one another. I am free. I should use that freedom to serve you, to love you. And what is love? It's not just a feeling or an emotion. It's not the heart palpitating and going, oh. Love is a choice, and a choice is freedom. Love is a choice of my will to do good for you regardless of the cost for me. Love requires liberty to operate. You know, there's a lot of talk today about compassion through taxes. Now, I can see some people need some help in times of emergency, but there is no true love and compassion. Compassion means suffering with, through taxes. If you're homeless And the government comes and takes the money out of my pocket and puts it in yours. I didn't love you. And the government didn't love you either because they didn't use their money. They used your money because that's what they had. Taxed welfare is not a charity. Charity is my choice. I should be helping through choice. You know, one of the problems with, and the reason we have such high welfare tax rate in today's society, historically, is that we as Christians did not choose to love. So the government came in and said, we're going to force it. If the church did what the early church did, there was one early church that was known for supporting 1,000 widows. These weren't rich people. If the church were the ones who were still always on the front edge of giving and helping those in need, there wouldn't have been any need for welfare to step in. The trouble is now we're in the hole. Because if we decide to choose now, we're already being taxed, and now we got to do it again. Because choices have consequences. When we as Christians in the past of history, and I'm not saying us in today's generation, because this was already done years ago, when we decided to start choosing to let the government take care of the needy instead of we taking care of the needy, then it became what it is. But Paul says we are to use our liberty to do good in love to those around us. Not push it off on an institution. It's going to be a long climb back, but we need to start. And I'm not now always just talking about money. I'm saying today, is there someone that you can do something loving for? Use your liberty that way. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the way you've loved us. Your love wasn't a thing of great emotion only. It was the love that sent Jesus Christ to the cross. And you used your freedom. You were free to stay in heaven. Jesus was free to stay in heaven. But you used that freedom to take on the form of a servant and die on the death of the cross. And you paid our price. Lord, help us to use our freedom for good, not just for neutral, and certainly not for evil, but to use our liberty in love. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.